Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing, hopefully briefly tonight, for your sake, of Hypocritical Faith, Part 19, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 48. And this series would have been shorter, but God led me to get with my oldest son and my youngest son to expand it, because this chapter is so rich. And as I said last night, a true pastor can preach in this chapter for 3 years, considering the situation in America. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible reads, "Wash you." Now we get down to the solution part of the passage. One of the things I love about God, and I have loved about God since I got saved, December the 19th, 1979, and about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what I love about Him, and I love about the Word of God. And I thank God for the two churches that formed my discipleship training, is that God is all about the solution, and everything that God has in place is logical, and it makes sense, and is step by step. Yes, I do know that God works in mysterious ways. I understand that very much so, and He does. And there are things we don't understand, but we thank God for. And that's logical in itself. And so, but He's always about the solution. And I do not like to be around people who are not about the solution. And I know there's a whole lot of talk about how that women don't want their husbands to talk. They just want them to listen. This is crazy talk to me. Women don't want their husbands to solve the problem. This is all crazy evangelical talk, people. That comes from hell somewhere. It does not come from heaven. I assure you. We all, male and female, need to be always about the solution. Solve the problem as quickly as possible, because the author of the problem oftentimes is the devil himself. God is about doing things decently and in order, and the devil is about causing confusion. God is not the author of confusion. And so I know this is cute and sounds very sweet and evangelical in our evangelical sick society today. As some are realizing, evangelicals are the problem. Just like some are realizing that baby boomers are the problem, not millennials. We always when you don't follow God, you always get the cart before the horse. Always. We got the church blaming the millennials and looking askance at the millennials like they're crazy. No, you made them crazy. You're crazy. You old evangelicals. And I don't care if you like it or lump it or choke on it. You're crazy. You baby boomers. And I'm a part of the baby boomer generation. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. And you wonder why your children are acting crazy. Because you've been acting crazy for decades. Totally out of order. Anyway, God is about order. God is always about order. And now He's dealing with the solution situation. He has described the problem. Now He's providing the solution for the Israelites and for us. God understood the problem quickly with man. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, he immediately began to put in place something very logical and very orderly, the redemption plan. He understood that his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was going to die on the cross as the Lamb of God for our sins. So wash you, the Bible says, God says, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Can anybody say amen to the word of God? I've been thinking about this all day. And I thank God, God has taught me this already, but I've been thinking about this for some others. In my family and outside of my family. What they need to do is understand they must take responsibility for the evil they're doing, and they need to stop it and say no to it and ask God to help them. And they need to ask God to help them to start doing good. Verse 17, learn to do well, seek judgment, tackle those ugly bugaboos in your life, try to make things right as best you can, at least be transparent, at least be honest, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless. When my children, all of my children, when they were young, they were always concerned about the homeless, the down and out. Naturally, I never told them to do it. I was trying to make sure we were not homeless and make sure that we had food to eat. We could be almost broke and needed some food ourselves, and they'd be talking about, excuse me, tucking me on my shoulder while we're driving down the road, can we stop and help that man right there? And I felt like saying, I'm trying to help you. But what I'm saying is, when you have a pure, innocent heart, you're going to be concerned about others. That's how God wants you to be. Like a little child, you see somebody dressed up in hobo clothes, and need something to eat, asking for something to eat, need a dollar, got a can in the hand, and the little child sees it, and she's touched by that, or he's touched by that, and he wants to help them. Why are we not like that? Older Christians. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, care for others who, as we say in America, less fortunate. I don't know about all of that, but that's the language that we use. Come now, God says, I have a plan, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, that means you messed up, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now I know we got some black folks who say, see, the Bible is racist. Why it got to be white as snow? Why it can't be black as beautiful? Just get over yourself. Calm down. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this past day. Thank you for what has been accomplished. What good has been done to help set up the ministry and build up the ministry. And Lord, for us poor human beings, it takes a lot to make this happen every day. And we thank you for your help and your might and your grace. And we individually come before your throne of grace and collectively confessing all and any sin that is in our lives, our failures and faults, some who don't have the right kind of heart, some who don't have the right attitude and spirit. They need to repent of inside sins that they think people can't see. Lying, dishonesty, deceit, anger, bitterness, resentment, comparing themselves with one another, hatred, bitterness, sadness, not being cheerful, not being loving to others, hateful, the inside job sins. Have mercy and grace. And we know that you have, and we know that you are, and we know that you will, and we pray that all of us who name the name of Christ would do our part and choose to cease doing evil and choose to start doing good with your help, your grace, and your might. And because of you, Lord Jesus, if you reside in us, then our attitudes and our spirits ought to change. Maybe a little revival is taking place, for I saw one of our church members today who is normally long-faced and sad. A Christian song came on in a secular restaurant, and for the first time ever, I saw him smiling and bobbing his head to the music. So that's a good sign. It's not much, Lord, but it's a starting point. And so, Lord, I pray that everybody will get to the point where they bob their heads to Christian music again, and they have the joy of the Lord, no matter what their circumstances are, no matter how many problems they have, no matter what kind of difficulty they're facing. Help them to, and help all of us, to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our evil ways and to choose to do good. And as was pointed out, Lord, on yesterday, that oftentimes if people will start choosing to do good, to do the right thing, it'll be easier for them to get out of the bad thing and the evil thing. It's not just forsaking the evil, it's all about also choosing to do right, to do good. Help us by your grace, by your might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through prayer and through your Holy Word, to change, in the words of your servant Tony Evans, from the inside out. For your glory, praise, and honor, we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, 3 million Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. For we pray it in his name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Chip Brogdon said, "It is not that we need more power, but that we need more brokenness. If you will, more humility. More not defending ourselves anymore. More of not carrying a chip on our shoulders, pun not intended. More of us not being emotional basket cases because we can't take somebody rebuking us or correcting us. More humility. He goes on to say, when we are properly broken, and by the way, have you been broken yet? Some of you have not. That's the problem. You've never been broken. One woman reared back and arched her back and told her husband, "Let me tell you something, you'll never break me. I'll never be tamed." These are her words. "I'll never be broken." Well, that man may not be able to break her, but God can and God will. And then God got some tools, like I told you last night. God has a certain set of skills like our boy in the movie Taken. He said, I have a certain set of skills. God has a certain set of skills. Trust me when I tell you. I know you don't believe me because you're proud and you're arrogant and you think you're all that in a bag of chips and a Coke. But I assure you, God can and God will break you down to the ground if he has to. And more than likely he will have to, because you won't humble yourself down. You will not allow yourself to break yourself. God normally has to do it. Oh, you say, I don't believe it. That's okay. Just keep on living. Keep on being arrogant. Keep on defending yourself. Every time somebody tries to tell you something to help you, even in your own family, always got something to say. Always want to give somebody a piece of your mind. That's why you don't have any mind left. Just keep on living. As the old folks used to say, the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind show. You can bank on that. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You can bank on that. You just keep on living with your bad self. Keep on living with your bad self. You will be broken down. If you're God's child, you got to be broken. You've got to sing that song and mean it. I surrender all. God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm yours. When we are properly broken, we will find the indwelling Christ is more than sufficient. He said, amen, somebody. More than sufficient. Paul found that out. All of the great men of God in the Bible and the great women of God in the Bible were broken. It may have taken some time, but they were broken down to the ground before God used them mightily. Someone came up with the idea about the death of the vision, how that God will destroy your vision. Make it seem like your calling is destroyed. Hide you up in the desert somewhere. On the backside of the... Can you imagine being on the backside of the desert? What is that? That's way out of the way, man. That's off the beaten path for sure. God will have you in caves like David, wondering whether or not you're going to live the next day. People hunting you down. Peter rather tell the Lord, I'm ready to die with you, Lord, for you. As soon as they start coming, Peter cussing and swearing, I don't know the man. He probably said, damn it, I don't know the man. He cursed. Don't get mad at me. Denied Christ three times, even though he walked on the water with Jesus, and he went in hiding with the rest of the apostles. God will break you. God will break you down to nothing, make you want to go back to fishing and quit the ministry. Turn in your credentials, quit the ministry, get naked, and go back fishing. He said, boys, I'm going back to fishing, man. After all of that, 3.5 years of walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he was in hiding. God will break you if you don't allow yourself to break yourself. I've never met anybody who did it. all the ones I know who are broken, they God broke them, including moi. Oh yes, I thought I was bad, man. Are you kidding me? Called to preach, man. Man, I thought I was it. Man, just as ignorant as I could be, ran back and preached some of the most crazy messages. I would take, back in those days, you just take the title is what was important, not the passage. If you can dream up a title, buddy, and run with that title, and get the folks saying amen to that title, you got it, you got them. Just as ignorant as I could be, and proud as I could be, along with all my other preacher brothers, young preacher brothers. But God has a way of humbling you down, breaking you down to the ground, humbling you, helping you to realize that you can't do it without Him, and He doesn't want you to do it without Him, because He's going to receive all of the glory, because it's all Him. As Charles Spurgeon said, it's all of grace. As a part of Israel's repentance, God gives His people five things that He wants them to do in order to demonstrate that they have truly changed. And God wants us to hear this, and God wants us to apply it to our lives. Why are you so disobedient? Why are you so rebellious? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why are you so stubborn? Why is it nobody can tell you anything? Why is it you're so sensitive when people try to help you with something in your life? People who love you, you know they love you. And you can't stand for them to tell you anything. You recoil like a cobra snake, ready to bite their head off because they tried to tell you your breath stinks. Your breath stinks. And you just don't want to hear it. My breath don't stink. Yes, honey, your breath stinks. And you get mad and walk off. Fix your face up like the devil. Won't speak to them for days. Because they had the audacity to tell you about yourself. Why are you that way? Because you're not broken. That's right, you're untamed. I think I heard a song yesterday. Don't tell nobody. Old Town Road. Those horses had to be trained, they had to be tamed to ride. If a horse or if an ox is going to be useful, they got to be broken. If a dog is going to be useful, he or she has to be broken. Sad to say, children have to be broken in a way. Through chastisement. If they're going to be useful, if they're going to be helpful, if they're going to be productive people and citizens. So God gave them five things, and God is giving us five things. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. How about you? I thank God for those servants, the people who are given the gift of helps. Well, they may not be like an evangelist like me and constantly proclaiming the gospel, but they go down into the nook and cranny of life, man, and they help people with some serious things. Thank God for those Christians who help young women who got pregnant. That's not my calling, but that is theirs. There's a pregnancy center not too far from here. I've never been in it. But they do great work. There are people who help immigrants. That's their burden. That's their calling. The fatherless. Children who are coming here without a father or a mother. Thank God for these people who are Christians and who love Jesus, and they cannot bear that child sleeping on the foil paper. And they're doing everything they can to get that child somewhere. And these are pure-hearted people. They're not trying to exploit these children or use these children for wicked purposes. They will kill somebody if they tried to do that to these children. They're called to do that. How about you, dear Christian? Are you doing what God wired you to do and called you to do and made you to do? Are you doing your thing that God has made you to do? Once you confess your sins, once you repent, once you turn from your evil ways, listen to me very carefully, stop complaining and whining and crying about stuff that means absolutely nothing, and you know it. Stop comparing yourself with others. The Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Stop worrying about what your sister's doing, what your brother's doing, what the pastor and his wife are doing. And get busy for God yourself. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. If your marriage is shot to hell, pray and ask God to heal it. And if it doesn't, you keep on going on for God. And help somebody else who is hurting. Sister Crystal Thompson said a long time ago, the best way to get over feeling sorry for yourself and getting out of your pity party is to start helping somebody else. Buy some food for somebody else. Help the fatherless and the motherless. You got women today who call themselves mother. They're selfish as the devil. They don't care nothing for their children. And God will put those children in your path. These single whorish women, they'll have you to babysit their children so that they can go and party and whore around and possibly have more children or kill another one. I know you don't like that, but that's the truth. You got women today who have children. People are begging for children. People are crying out to God like, Rachel, please give me a child. And you got some women, if they just smell a man, they get pregnant. They got 5 and 6 children. And they don't care about their children at all. There are many, many, sad to say, there are many women that way. Today, I know you don't like it, but it's true. I know you think every mother is a good mother. That is not the truth, man. That's not the case. One woman in this state, today or 2 days ago, a day ago, says she heard the devil tell her to kill her child and sacrifice her child. Now, you know that's the devil. And you got some women who will try to get rid of their children and let their boyfriend, who's not their father, kill their own child. Because they cannot stand that man's child being in her life. And she will let him do it. This happens all the time. I know of a Christian organization that has several news sites. They run these kinds of stories. You know why? Why don't you just run positive stories about Christians and all of the wonderful things Christians are doing? No, that's the problem. You're so incubated and up in your cul-de-sac with your little tea-drinking Christians doing nothing but gossiping and talking about something close to nothing. You don't know what in the hell is going on in this hellacious society. You got your head in the sand with your two little cute Christian friends. Y'all fellowshipping all of the time and never reaching out to the women next door about to kill their children. So I'm glad they report it. And every now and then they'll preface the article, there's a devil loose. That's right. And you need to be aware of that. They'll preface the article with, the devil is a lie. or they'll preface the article with, "Here we go. More satanic, wicked ungodliness going on in our society with homosexuality, lesbianism." Why? Because our hearts have grown cold. We don't care for the fatherless. We don't care for the widows. We don't care for doing the good work that needs to be done. I know of a pastor's wife, the so-called first lady. She would sit on her behind in the church. All she had to do was be the pastor's wife. She didn't have to work anywhere or anything. And the women would come in the church on Sunday and on Wednesdays. And they all had to make a beeline to her to shake her hand and to try to encourage her. And they just got off work and have to deal with a Bo Peep that won't marry them. Two or three hard-headed children. She would never reach out to them like a virtuous woman is told to do in Proverbs 31. Those women turned on her and realized how empty and wicked she was and selfish she was. Learn to do well. The Hebrew word translated as learn means to gain information, knowledge, but useful knowledge. Something that you're going to apply and respond properly to it with regular action. A little less conversation, a little more action is what we need. Implying acceptance of or submission to the information gained. This is actually a sad commentary on the state of things in ancient Israel and modern America. They had been doing wrong for so long that some of them had forgotten what it meant to do good. My God, help us all. How about you? How about you, dear Christian friend? Have you been doing evil so long? Practicing adultery so long, practicing fornication so long, practicing incest so long, practicing lying so long, practicing stealing so long, robbing God, being hateful, bitter, resentful, angry, proud and devilish so long, you don't even know what it is to do good. And I'm afraid we have many Christians in high places who are in cahoots with the people next to the devil. I'm thinking about a preacher right now. I believe with all of my heart he's been bought. I believe with all of my heart this preacher is engaged with the principalities and powers. And I found out today that he's paying off preachers to not criticize him, giving them money. In fact, I found out about it last night. To tap things down. I wondered why everybody was being so overly kind and overly just generous. And even though he is a mouthpiece for the devil, I found out he's sending money to influencers. But he has not sent me any money because I'm unbought and unbossed. I've only been bought by Christ, by God, and I'm only bossed by God in Christ. We have pastors and preachers and evangelists and ministers, bishops, who are in cahoots with the person next to the devil in the high principalities and powers. And they have been bought, and they're doling out money to shut preachers up. to usher in this lie. The lie that is okay for homosexuals and lesbians and married so-called homosexuals who have adopted children and everything to be members, active members, and even leaders in the church. They are fundamentally trying to turn the church upside down. And because of money, because of demonic influence, people are in the church are being led not by a preacher, but by a volunteer, a Pied Piper leading the church to hellaciousness and confusion. And into a situation that no matter how much good you do, it's going to mess up everything. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that is why after the captivity, under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra, the people were who read the word of God and taught from it, yes, in the Old Testament, meant for them to live it out. I said the preachers in the Old Testament, when they read the word of God distinctly and preached it and taught it, they expected the people to live it out. But today in the church, most preaching is for entertainment purposes. That's why sometimes some stories about some preachers are put in the entertainment section, because that's all it is. It's all about making the people happy, so happy so that they will keep on giving the millions of dollars to the church, no matter what's going on in the church and who's coming into the church. But you mark my words, this evil that's going on, it is a conspiracy, and is going to destroy the church as we see it and as we know it today. If people don't confess their sins and repent. The Israelites had strayed so far from the word of God that basically they had to go to school to relearn it. We must learn to do well today by reading, studying, and taking heed to the word of God and praying and asking God to give us understanding. Many Christians don't know how to live like Christ simply because they don't read the Holy Bible. That includes the Old Testament and the New Testament. They don't know how to live. And this is why the church is so messed up, being led by a Pied Piper volunteer, a man who's never been called by God. It is so sad what's going on in our so-called evangelical circles. The lost souls of black folk and white folk, both sides are lost, and yet they're leading the way. The blind leading the blind. A Lifeway research study found that only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Why would they read the Bible when we have pastors telling them that half of the Bible is obsolete? That's the word they're using. Obsolete. Now, you know the devil, as the old saints used to say, is a lie. Even the old saints who are still living, who have never been to Bible college, much less, not even Bible Institute, much less seminary. When they hear that, they will tell you that the devil is a lie. And whoever is saying that is the devil. Over 40% of the people attending church read their Bible occasionally. Maybe once or twice a month. I was raised in a home. My dad was a preacher. My mother was a preacher. The Bible only came out in the bathroom with my dad when he was preparing to preach a little message. We never read the Bible together, but yet we were considered a Christian family. And it's worse now. Most preachers can get up in the pulpit and say, please turn in the book, turn in the Bible the book of Makaluka. And 90% of the people be looking for the book of Makaluka. And there's no such book. But they'll be looking, and if he stands there for 10 minutes, they'll be still looking. Pastor, I can't find the book of Makaluka. He can stand there for 30 minutes. Some people will still be looking, I can't find it. I need to learn my Bible. Then finally the pastor says, there's no such book as the book of Makaluka. Just everybody go home and read your Bible. So sad. And almost 20% of churchgoers say they never read the Bible. Essentially, the same number who read it every day. Never read the Bible. And that's a problem, folks. Because you need prayer and the Bible. You need the Bible and prayer. You need to do that every day. On an individual basis, on a family basis, not just at the church. Now, if you're not going to do it with the family and the church has a prayer meeting every morning, go to that prayer meeting. Pray and read the Bible. And get your heart right with God and heart for God on fire to start your day. So, beloved, with roughly 80% of people in the church not even reading the Bible, the Old Testament or the New Testament at all. And see, these false prophets who are telling the world that the Old Testament is obsolete, people are beginning to ask in the church, well, is the New Testament obsolete too? If you can just dismiss the Old Testament, surely you can dismiss the New Testament as well. And so all of it is obsolete. And if you disrespect the Old Testament, then you're not even going to have people reading the New Testament. It's no wonder that we have an epidemic of biblical illiteracy, not only in the church, but also in the nation. It's also no wonder that there is so much sin in the church. That's right, I said sin. Oh, we don't want to talk about sin. No, that's the problem, people. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he does not want us to continue in sin. That doesn't even make sense to do that. People simply don't know what God says about the way they should live their lives. Because they don't read their Bibles. We have pastors, volunteers, who are not even called to preach, dismissing the entire Old Testament of the Bible, not preaching the Bible themselves, drawing stick figures and little pictures, and they don't do that well. They don't call it preaching anymore, they call it communicating. Have you ever heard of the foolishness of communicating? No, the foolishness of preaching, because it is so powerful. just the preacher and the Bible. So, beloved, true revival, true repentance starts with us going back to the Bible. There's a ministry called Back to the Bible. We don't hear too much about it today, but we should. Back to the Bible. That's where we need to go. Not to the newfangled institution that some people call a church, but it's nothing but a business. And we need to learn to do well again and to stop doing evil. When we read the Bible and learn to do well, we will learn what God says about our sin. And you will find out that God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates sin. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Not to, for us to continue in sin, but to repent of our sins. When we read the Bible and learn to do well, we will learn the spirit in which we should live by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we read the Bible and learn to do well, we will learn how to seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And if we can't go for some reason, we will send somebody by supporting them financially. But we all ought to be engaged in doing good. But we cannot do good unless we get back to the Bible. Confess our sins, repent, turn from our evil ways, get back to the Bible, and start doing good. The Bible tells us that the backslider is filled with his own ways, and that is the problem in the church. We are filled with our own ways. As it was in the book of Judges, people just did whatever they wanted to do that came to their mind. While doing that, they're damning souls to hell instead of saving souls. Joshua Drake said long ago, the holy word of God, it is the Christian's rule to teach, correct, rebuke, and train the church's priceless jewel. Let others rule by whim their lives from day to day. God's children have his holy word, which gladly they obey. God breathed, yet penned by man, preserved by arms and art. The church has borne it in her breast. She dare not from it part. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Before we do that, allow me to tell you what you need to do in light of this message. If you are a Christian, participating and listening today, all over the world, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess your sins. Repent of your own sins. Turn away from the evil that is in your life. This includes the evil that you're committing in your family, in your household. Whatever it is. Won't speak to your husband, won't speak to your wife, won't speak to your parents. Being hateful, being envious, being proud, being arrogant, won't listen when somebody's trying to help you. Confess your sins and repent of your sins at the house. That's where you need to focus on right now. Things will work out just fine at the church if you confess and repent of your sins at home. For therein lies the problem. I told you all, by inspiration, if you will, by revelation, if you will, I'm a Baptist preacher, but every now and then God will tell me something, and that is, backsliding begins at home. Hypocrisy begins at the house, not at the church. I said hypocrisy begins at the house, not at the church. I said that hypocrisy and backsliding begins in the home. The devil that you are at home is not seen at the church. And therein lies the problem. We have a church full of hypocrites. Your marriage is wonderful in a model marriage at church, but it's hell at home. You're a wonderful woman and wife and mother at church, but you are a devil at home. You're just a wonderful, loving, doting father and husband at church, but you are a devil at home. And everybody in the family knows it. Those are the real witnesses right there in your own family. You tell the truth at church, they believe, but you're a liar at home. You love everybody at the church. You even hug people at the church, but you, as a mother, won't even hug your own children and tell your own children, I love you. But you love everybody else's children at the church and hug everybody else's children and tell somebody else to take your children away from you, you devil. Why are you so loving at church, you hypocrite? But you don't love your own family at home. You go to the church and hug another man's wife and just squeeze her till she almost burst. But you have never hugged your wife. I love you now. God bless you. But you never said that to your wife. You never said that to your husband. Your husband is a comedian from his heart. And he makes everybody laugh. In fact, people pay him to come to the party because he's the life of the party. But you never laugh at his joke. But a preacher say, boo, ah, you fall down almost to the ground. You hypocrite. You're about to break your back. The man ain't said nothing. And you do it right there in front of your husband trying to get back at him. You liar. You hypocrite. See, y'all need to cut this, you evangelicals out there. You fundamentalists. Out there, you don't fool God with that mess, people. So don't be talking about revival at the church. Get revival in your house. Deal with the sin in your house, the evil in your family, your disrespectful children. You need to get the strap out or a stick out and whip some butts. They're disrespectful to God, disrespectful to Jesus, disrespectful to you. And you have a job to do. You got hell in your home, but you think there's going to be heaven in church. It doesn't work that way. Sorry. And many pastors need to sit down. Just sit down, for their families are a hot mess. You already know what your sins are. Confess your sins and repent. You say, I'll never listen to you again. That's fine. I got you today. I'll tell you what, you'll never come preach in my church. I don't want to come and preach in your church. I've preached in many churches before, and I have to backslide 100 times to get into fellowship, and I don't have time for that. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love by God's grace, by God's power. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you. Holy Father God, we thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of your Holy Word. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, as you know, many people will hear a message like this and still never change because of pharaohistic pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness. We'll leave this service and still be devilish and hateful and disobedient and whores and whoremongers and liars and cheats and go right on doing their evil. And you know it better than we do. For that's how the Israelites were, and that's how so many of us are in the church today. All I can pray, Lord, is have mercy and grace upon us in the home. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Help us to stop being hypocrites in the family and in the home. Living one way in front of people in the church, but living another way at the house. I pray that you would have your Holy Spirit to bring heavy conviction down upon those, Lord, who need it. And help us all to confess our sins and repent and turn from our evil ways and to get back on the firing line to help other people and to be a witness to the lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And now I want to talk to you. You're listening in, you're watching, you're participating in the service tonight, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might very well be religious. You might be in the church. You might be like me. A parent is a preacher, but you're lost and on your way to hell. Now, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible, the Holy Bible, says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This is a very serious business, people, because death is final, man. You know, believe what the Bible says about death and what comes after death, because you don't know what comes after death. Death is serious business, and we take it so lightly. So lightly, there are shows about children committing suicide. Pastors committing suicide. Are you kidding me? Old people in England talk nonchalantly about what they call rational suicide. Death is a very serious matter. While you are living, and the blood, as the old preachers used to say, is running warm in your veins and air in your lungs, you need to get your heart right with God. You need to trust Christ as Savior. You need to repent of your sins. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible and most preachers today. In fact, most preachers today don't preach on hell at all. They have been bamboozled and deceived by the devil. So hell is bad news. Hell is a place, Jesus said, of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's enough. You don't want to go there. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to go there. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Just simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will do it today. For you have God's promise on it. I said you have God's promise on it. I said you have God's promise on it. God, who cannot lie. Said in Romans 10:9-13 in the Holy Word of God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. You have God's word on it. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to go to a church building to be saved. You don't have to be a church member to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or to the preacher to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. Just trust Christ as Savior. And let God and let Jesus help you with the rest. They know how to fix it. You don't have to clean up your life to get saved first. Just get saved first, and then God will help you clean up your life. Jesus will help you clean up your life. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shalt be saved. You have God's word on it. Follow me in prayer, what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in none other than the greatest name, the greatest person who ever lived, Jesus Christ. The only name, as the songwriter said, that should be remembered. Trust in him today, and I guarantee you, you will not regret it. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments as I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. And many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me today, and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, as I believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I receive you, and please save my soul. And please change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. If you would send us your email, we will send you a free ebook, two free ebooks that will help you understand salvation better and what are the next steps. Through the Door, that's one of the titles of the book. What to do after you enter through the door. The other book is How to Be Saved from Hell, straight from the Bible. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you to grow in the faith, free of charge. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And by God's grace, we love you too. And may God bless you real good. Is my prayer until next time. And Lord willing, next time is tomorrow night around the same time. God bless you until next time.